Welcome to All Sides with Ann Fisher. This is our winter membership drive, and more on that in a minute. Just about everyone knows a student from grade school to graduate school, and most likely everyone knows a student who could use some help with their writing. And as grammar guru Mignon Fogarty says, let's face it, everyone writes, between papers and reports for school to Facebook status updates, text messages, tweets, and blogs. Most of us actually write all the time. So we could all use a little help, right? Mignon Fogarty, creator of the top-ranked Grammar Girl podcast and best-selling author of several books about word usage and grammar, has produced a new hardcover Ultimate Writing Guide. This one is for students. It's called The Ultimate Writing Guide for Students. She's with us today to talk about the new book and answer any and all of your grammar questions. Welcome to the show, Mignon.
Thanks, Ann. Thanks for having me. Who but NPR would have an hour of grammar?
and you know, who but NPR, public media and public media audiences would, like, literally fill the phone lines with questions about grammar, no less. So, by the way, if you want to speak with Mignon, you have a question or comment about grammar, 614-292-8513 is the number to call. You can also email us at allsides@wosu.org. Don't wait. If you have a question or comment for Mignon, let's get it in so we can get you all queued up. Now, you're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. And as I said earlier, this is our winter membership drive. Remember, listener support, your support is the foundation of our budget. Please make your pledge of support right now at WOSU.org or by calling 1-866-897-9678. And I promise you don't have to do any writing to do this. That's 1-866-897-9678. It takes just a few minutes. Our goal this hour is $1,500, and we can meet this goal with your help and only with your help. Online pledges count toward the goal, too, at WOSU.org. And with a pledge of support at the $120 level, our thank you gift to you will be Grammar Girl's new book, Grammar Girl Presents, The Ultimate Writing Guide for Students. This great book is not just for students, of course. It's for anybody who wants to improve their writing and learn about the proper use of verbs, prepositions, and much, much more. Go online to WOSU.org or call 1-866-897-9678 and make that pledge of $120 right now. That's 1-866-897-9678. It's tell you a little bit about the book before we start talking about it in detail. The book is full of, as I said, it's a hardcover book full of useful information and includes everything you ever wanted to know about prepositions, the question marks, splitting infinitives, and much more. It includes pop quizzes and has some quick and dirty tips that Mignon is famous for, 1 and 2 sentences, quick and dirty tips that will help you remember some important grammar rules, learn when to use commas. Somebody very important to me needs to learn more about that. I've learned recently. 1-866-897-9678 is the number to call. If you have a question or comment for Mignon, though, we'd welcome them at 614-292-8513. So, Mignon, welcome back to the show.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, you were saying that, you know, it's for all ages, and one of the things that surprised me about this book is that, you know, I hear from people, you know, teachers who are using it in for older grade school kids and all the way up to college, and then just writers who want to improve their writing. So, I mean, everything from, you know, relatively little kids to adults, it surprises me. But we all, you know, the rules are the same whether you're 9 or 25 or 50, so everyone needs to brush up.
You say in the introduction that what you're not trying to do is make your readers sound like everyone else or like they're from Shakespeare's time. There's that feeling some people think that if you have to follow the rules that everyone's going to sound alike.
Right, and sort of the driving principle, what I had in my mind before I even started the book, was that the idea is that if you have ideas, you want people to take them seriously, you know, especially teenagers, but everyone. You get your ideas out there in writing, and the only way they're going to be taken seriously is if they're formatted in a clear way. And there are a lot of different ways to be clear, but if you follow sort of the rules of standard English, people are much more likely to take your ideas seriously. And, you know, that's a goal that I think almost everyone shares, wanting to be taken seriously, and good writing can get you there. And you're not all going to sound the same, but having the underlying foundation with the rules is really going to help.
One thing, too, good writing is easy to read. People who are reading good writing may not know that that's why it's easy to read, but that's usually the case.
Yeah. I mean, in addition to, you know, studying and learning the rules, a great way to improve your writing is just to read good writing from other people. So, you know, the classic novels, good modern novels, you know, high-level news. I mean, just reading a lot will help you absorb good writing. But then there was this school of thought for a while that that was all you needed mm-hmm. to learn to write well, and that didn't seem to work so well. And now there's sort of a resurgence in interest in actually learning the rules as well as sort of observing and absorbing good writing.
And there's also was a school of thought that the free writing school, just sit down and start putting, you know, black on white, and that's a start. Some people are just petrified to even start writing.
Yeah, I took an English class where we did free writing for 10 minutes at the beginning of every class. And, you know, for some people that worked great, and it can get you, you know, to overcome writer's block, particularly if you have trouble with writer's block. That's a great little exercise.
1-866-897-9678. That's the number to call to make your pledge of support for 89.7 NPR News right now, or you can go online to WOSU.org. It takes just a few minutes. If you want to talk to Mignon, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@WOSU.org. Do you have an argument you want to settle? There's usually people that call up and have an argument to settle. About grammar, because grammar spurs more conversation than, whoever knew. You can call 614-292-8513. Make that call right now or email us at allsides@WOSU.org. I forgot, you can go to the Facebook page, All Sides with Ann Fisher Facebook page, and you can tweet me at Ann Fisher WOSU, hash mark grammar girl. There are people who believe nothing should ever change, and there are people who believe anything goes. You talk about that in a discussion you had with another interviewer regarding the grammar wars.
Yeah, I think of myself as in the middle of that spectrum, and, you know, people on either side usually think I'm on the other side, but I try to be in the middle and take a more measured approach. A good example of this, it's not in this book, but in a book I have coming out, there's this phrase begs the question, which means circular reasoning. It has a specific meaning in formal logic, and I went into researching the topic, thinking that, you know, we should defend the traditional use, that, you know, you shouldn't use it to mean raises the question, you should mean use it for that traditional logic thing. And after reading, I was searching for an example of it being used properly, and I searched through over 1,000 news articles and didn't find a single proper use. Everyone in these published news articles was using it to mean raises the question. So I just feel like I can't argue that you can't use it that way. I mean, language changes by people using it in a certain way, and when so many people start using it in the non-traditional way, it takes on that meaning, whether people like it or not. And, you know, my advice is, my current advice is, you know, try to avoid using it in this new way, but probably don't use it in the old way either, because nobody's going to know what you mean. But if you mean raises the question, it's better to say raises the question than begs the question, but it's sort of a lost battle, and every once in a while these lost battles come up, and traditionalists and sticklers don't like it, but that is how language changes.
You begin the book with nouns. And I was wondering, how did you decide to organize the book?
Well, the book, the section about parts of speech, which, you know, nouns and verbs and adjectives and adverbs and so on, that's the section that is particularly for students, because, you know, a 50-year-old writer, you know, probably doesn't care about the definition of, you know, an adjective versus an adverb. I mean, it's useful to know and it's good, but it's particularly relevant to students who are learning it in class. And so because the book is, you know, targeted to students, even though it's useful for everyone, we put that more academic section at the beginning. And then, you know, the other sections, punctuation and word choice, they sort of naturally group together too. So, but we wanted to start with grammar in the grammar book, and those are parts of speech.
Micah, you're on the air. Welcome to the show, Micah.
Thank you very much. I have a question for you. I teach at the college level. I don't teach writing, but certainly writing is part of homework and exercises. More and more, I find students are including texting language, texting shortcuts, texting spellings, emoticons, things like that, which I don't personally like, but on the other hand, I don't want to be a curmudgeon about it if that's actually, you know, how writing is changing it these days. So I'm just curious as to your opinion about that.
Oh, it's definitely not okay to have text messaging abbreviations in college papers. And it's really interesting that you bring that up, because I've been hearing from junior high and high school teachers that they're seeing it in their papers, but academic researchers have done studies and found that it wasn't showing up in college papers, last I heard. So now it seems as if it's making its way to college, and I imagine it's as those junior high and high school kids are getting older. But you know, I think what's important to teach young writers is that there's an appropriateness. It's completely fine to use text messaging abbreviations when you're text messaging, or maybe even in an email to a friend. But it's just not okay in a history paper, or and it's not going to be okay in the workplace when they get to writing press releases or annual reports or, you know, business communications. And, you know, it may be that if you work for an edgy company and they're trying to affect a certain style that will appeal to young consumers, that they will think text messaging abbreviations are okay. But it's about figuring out who you're writing for, whether it's a formal or informal situation, and what's appropriate for that particular writing situation. And, you know, most things aren't black and white, right or wrong. They're right in some instances, like when you're text messaging, and wrong in other instances, like when you're writing an annual report.
Micah?
What's the difference, as a quick follow-up, what's the difference between language evolving and language decaying?
Oh, we could talk about that for hours. I think that, you know, changing, when things change, there's maybe a logical reason, and they tend to be accepted by editors. But, you know, it just changes. We don't talk like people talked in the Middle Ages. And I guess what I'm trying to think of is sort of, you know, there are the things that become accepted, like begs the question, you know, now an editor at your local paper is going to see begs the question and not strike it out because it's the wrong meaning. But then there's slang that sort of tends to come and go and wouldn't make it in. And then there are words like irregardless, which, you know, people have been using for 100 years, but editors still fight against it, and dictionaries still say it's non-standard. And, you know, for whatever reason, some changes become standard English over time and others don't. And, you know, honestly, I don't know why.
But that's an interesting distinction that Micah made. And by the way, Micah, thanks for your call.
Thank you.
The changing language versus deteriorating language. It's an interesting thought, an interesting way to put it. 614-292-8513. That's the number to call if you have a question or comment for our guest this hour, Mignon Fogarty. Mignon is a good friend of All Sides. She's here this hour to answer your questions, but we also need your pledges. Make a gift of $120 right now. At the $120 gift level, you can pick up your very own copy of Grammar Girl Presents, the ultimate writing guide for students. But as usual, whatever you can afford is what we're asking for. 1-866-897-9678. We have $1,400 to go this hour. Make the pledge right now. 1-866-897-9678. This is a great hardcover book. This is a keeper. This will be around for the ages, and it's perfect for anybody in the family. 1-866-897-9678, or go online to WOSU.org. It'll take just a few minutes. Jen in Worthington, you're on the air. Welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
My question is about its, I-T-S. I know that sometimes it requires an apostrophe. I don't know whether that's in the possessive or when it's, it is. I can never figure that out. I always just hold my breath and cross my fingers and throw one out there.
Sure. I think people get confused because it's so drilled into our head that nouns take an apostrophe S to become possessive. You know, you'd say Anne's studio, and that would be an apostrophe S. But the personal pronouns, it, he, she, who, they don't take an apostrophe S to become possessive. They have their own separate possessive forms. So when you're dealing with those pronouns, you can remember that it's always a contraction. So IT apostrophe S always stands for it is or it has. And if you're ever in doubt, you could just write out the words. You could write it is, and, you know, if you really have trouble with this, you could always just always use it is instead of it's, and, you know, then you don't have to worry about ever using an apostrophe. But just you can remember that it's with an apostrophe as a contraction for two words, and it's because it's a pronoun and not a noun.
And, Jen, does that help?
It does, very much. Thank you.
You're welcome. And, Mignon, you devote an entire page to it's versus it's.
It's amazing how many people get this wrong. And when I was in second grade, I was kicked out. I dropped out of a spelling bee because I had the wrong form of it's. I think I used an apostrophe when I shouldn't have. So it sticks with me because it was a traumatic moment in my young life, you know, losing the spelling bee. But it's also a common typo because we just have it ingrained in our heads, apostrophe possessive. And, yeah, I know I do the typo myself, and my editor's note to look for it. I know the difference, but I often type it wrong.
Right, and it's a great example of how closely words and grammar are connected. The actual word is connected with grammar. Another really classic one that irritates a lot of people these days is your, Y-O-U apostrophe R-E, versus your, Y-O-U-R.
And it's the same situation. You is a pronoun. And so when you're making it possessive, it has its own form, Y-O-U-R. But that when you're using the apostrophe, it's a contraction for you are. So it's almost exactly the same situation as it. And, again, yeah, it's a really common error. You see it all the time. And I never know whether it's a typo or people just don't know.
I don't either, although I remember I once had a button. It said, kiss me if you're Irish. And it was spelled Y-O-U-R, and I had it for several years and finally threw it out in disgust. I'm like, oh, my God, they misspelled this thing. That's just terrible. Thanks to Mary in Columbus. We have $1,300 to go this hour. Make your show of support for 89.7 NPR News right now. Don't delay. 1-866-897-9678. When you make your show of support, believe it or not, it encourages others to do the same thing. I've noticed that phenomenon before. 1-866-897-9678. If you're waiting for a better time, there is no better time than right now. You can also go online to WOSU.org and make your pledge that way. Whatever works for you, 1-866-897-9678, or go online to WOSU.org. And Joe in Columbus, you're on the air. Welcome to the show, Joe.
Good morning. How are you guys doing today?
Very well.
Well, my question was about contractions versus text language. I feel like, you know, originally people were shortening words because of, you know, common speech, and now contractions have really made their way into standard news and magazines and English. And whether or not you thought that this fighting of text language was just a generation gap and eventually it'll be a new form of contraction.
Hmm.
Well, you know, it's actually not, it's not new. People have been shortening words for a long time. So, you know, think about, you know, we telephone. We often call it the phone, and you might refer to the refrigerator as the fridge. And, you know, your parents or even your grandparents might have told given someone an IOU, the letters I, O, and U. So that's exactly the same as our current text messaging abbreviations. You know, they're using the letter U to mean you. So it's not quite as new as a lot of people think, but it, you know, it might be more prevalent. It might be happening more often because we have this wonderful new medium that encourages us to shorten words. But you know what? It was the same with the telegraph. Like back in, when the telegraph was out, people were arguing for shortened forms of words because it saved money with having fewer characters. So I do think that, you know, more things are being abbreviated than used to, but it isn't new. It's just sort of one of the ways that language changes or that people play with language.
Thanks, Joe, for the call.
Thank you.
Yep, thank you. 614-292-8513 or email us at allsides@wosu.org. And Amy in Clintonville. Hi, Amy. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. I have two things for you. One, could you settle the score on the use of guises as in the plural of guys? That's not appropriate, correct?
I don't think I've ever even heard that.
Guises. You guises.
Yeah, like you guises should be doing this.
Oh, I see. Well, you know, I could see it being possessive. So the thing is, here's the problem. English doesn't have a plural group pronoun that, you know, we do. We have you, but, you know, it's sort of non-specific. So we have all these substitutes like y'all and you guys. But then if you're using you guys, you need a way to make it possessive. So you might say, you go.
Well, maybe I'm going to draw. Maybe I meant in the plural you. There's not a plural.
Yeah, the plural. Yeah, the plural doesn't make sense at all because it's already plural.
Thank you. Okay.
Okay.
And the second thing is, how do we eliminate the word like? That maybe it's a generational thing as well.
Oh, boy.
It's so annoying.
Yeah, it's a verbal tic, and I know I even occasionally do it when I'm not scripted and concentrating carefully on my language. If there's someone in your life who really overuses like, you can try, you know, if it's someone very close to you, like your child or your husband, you could try pointing it out or trying to make a little game out of it to get them to stop doing it, like any other verbal tic, like or, you know. I mean, they're all just things sort of people say as fillers.
Sorry, it just seems more common now. Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
Thanks, Amy.
Thank you.
614-292-8513, or you can email us at allsides@wosu.org. My guest this hour is Mignon Fogarty. You know her as Grammar Girl. Podcaster, best-selling author, creator of the top-ranked Grammar Girl podcast. We're talking about her new book, which encompasses everything we ever talk about with Mignon, and that's The Ultimate Writing Guide for Students. Give us a call if you have a question or comment for her. You can also email us at allsides@wosu.org, and you can go online to our Facebook page and post your question or comment there. 1-866-897-9678, however, is the number to call if you want to make your pledge right now. Thanks to Blaine and Donna in Columbus, we have $1,100 to go. 1-866-897-9678 or go online to WOSU.org. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News, and this is our winter membership drive. And our goal today is simple. It's simple as, well, let me think, what's simple about grammar? Nothing to some people, but this is simpler than grammar. To get your pledge of support at 1-866-897-9678 or go online at WOSU.org. And in return for your pledge, we are offering you Grammar Girl's newest book at the $120 level. Mignon is a New York Times bestselling author, and you can get her book as a thank you gift for supporting 89.7 NPR News. This book includes everything you ever wanted to know about splitting infinitives, subject verb agreement, common combining pronouns, and much, much more. Go to WOSU.org or call 1-866-897-9678. That's 1-866-897-9678. Make your pledge right now. We are down to $1,100. We need to make $1,100. We need your show of support. And it has a lot more to do about how many people call and how much, because every person that calls and makes a pledge is voting for 89.7 NPR News, for All Sides with Ann Fisher, for that matter, and for whatever programming that you've come to depend on at WOSU 89.7 NPR News. Richard in Columbus, you're on the air. Welcome to the show, Richard.
Hi, thank you very much. I'm good at always the difference between who and whom, and it grates my ear when I mishear it, or when I hear it misused. But I have always had trouble with which and that, when to use which and when to use that. And I'll take the answer up there.
Okay, thank you, Richard.
Sure. So the rule, one of the reasons you may be confused is that the rules are a little bit complicated, but there's a simple version that I'll talk about here. Just know that there are more nuances to it than this. But the simple way is that you use, let me get it right. You use that for a restrictive clause and which for a non-restrictive clause. And what that means is that you use that when it can't be left out of the sentence. So you would say, dogs that bark drive me crazy. So it's not all dogs, it's only the dogs that bark. So you're restricting the type of dogs. But if you say dogs, which make great pets, are out in the yard or something like that, that which make great pets part could be left out and not change the meaning of the sentence. So that's why we call it non-restrictive. And the way I remember this, I have a little memory trick. There's even a cartoon in the book. So it says, remember that, you know, apologies to Hermione Granger and Wiccans, but you can throw out the witches and nothing bad will happen. So you can, you know, throw the witches out the front door of the house, throw the witches out of your sentence, and the meaning doesn't change. So if you can throw that clause out and the meaning doesn't change, then you can throw out the which. You know which is the right choice.
Okay. 614-292-8513 is the number to call. Our guest is Mignon Fogarty, Grammar Girl. If you have a question or comment about grammar, we welcome them this hour. 1-866-897-9678, however, is that number to call if you want to show your support for 89.7 NPR News. And Tim in Belle Fountain, you're on the air. Welcome to the show, Tim.
Okay, what's Jim?
I'm sorry. Okay, sorry, Jim.
All right. Mignon, I'm wondering about the use of less than or fewer than. It would have to do with a situation like my local public radio station might say, we would have less pledge days in a statement. Would that be correct?
There are some exceptions, but the simple rule is that you use fewer for things you can count and less for things you can't count. So because you can count days, it would be fewer days. Less is okay for things like a mass of things like water. You'd say there's less water in the lake, but you'd say there are fewer fish in the lake because you can count the fish.
Okay. Another one, if you have time. I hear a lot of, I was always taught to use when you're counting yourself and someone else and describing a situation in a sentence, you might say, John and I did something. And I hear a lot of people that seem like they're educated, and movie stars especially, who say, me and John. Is that anything that's changing?
No, it's not something that's changing. It's right now it's at the point where a lot of people just get it wrong. So it depends on where it falls in the sentence. And I always tell people, just imagine that you take all the other people out of the sentence. How would you say it with you alone? So you'd say, I am going to the Oscars. So you'd say, John and I are going to the Oscars. You know, it's really easy if you just imagine. Most native English speakers can get it right if they just imagine that they don't have all those other people in the sentence.
I appreciate that. And I think you've said that before.
No problem. So the thing about grammar is you can say it over and over again. It helps. So, Jim.
Thanks for taking.
Yeah, thanks for calling, Jim. We appreciate it. Thanks to Diana and Paul. We have $1,000 to go now in this hour. $1,000, not fewer than, but exactly $1,000. 1-866-897-9678 is the number to call to make that pledge right now and start to move us in the direction of fewer than $1,000 to go. Again, thanks, Diana and Paul, for getting us to, $1,000. A similar
I'm sorry, can I interrupt
yeah,
you?
Yeah, sure.
Because I now I've confused you, because money is one of the exceptions.
Okay, so we have less than. Okay.
Less, it'd be less than $1,000.
Okay,
money,
good.
Time, and distance are exceptions. So I don't want to confuse people.
Something that similarly bothers me is kind of a different question altogether, but it's the same sort of thing, is when we say we have under $1,000.
It's, yeah,
that's a preposition, and we're not physically under $1,000. We have less than $1,000.
Yeah, what people usually ask about the reverse situation, whether it's over $1,000 or more than $1,000,
mm-hmm.
and it's a sort of a style choice. The Associated Press says you should never use over. You should always say more than $1,000 because there is that physically above thing. But everyone else says over is fine.
Yeah, and see, that would be my journalism background then.
Yeah. That's probably why.
Yeah, exactly. That I'm sure I was nicked enough times and just became like, you know, like Pavlov's dogs, used to doing it another way. 1-866-897-9678 is the number to call. Just to remind you, this is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News, and we have less than $1,000 to go in this hour. Every day, All Sides brings you interesting conversations with fascinating people who are experts in their field, well-known for what they do and say, like Mignon Fogarty. And just once a year, we ask you to put a value on that and make a pledge. A pledge right now will pay for the hundreds of hours of listening you will do this year. Mignon Fogarty is Grammar Girl, and we know our listeners love hearing shows about words and grammar. Make a pledge right now. Go to WOSU.org or call our volunteers at 1-866-897-9678. And once again, you know, we know that you love to hear these kind of programs, and we love bringing them to you. So help us continue to do that. Make that call right now, 1-866-897-9678. It's a win-win proposition. At the $120 pledge level, our gift to you today is Grammar Girl Presents, the ultimate writing guide for students. That's what we're talking about right now. Mignon Fogarty, as I said earlier, she's a grammar girl and a New York Times bestselling author, and her books will help you remember the rules of grammar and become a better writer. You can learn when to use commas in a sentence, when not to use a comma, learn the difference between affect with an A and effect with an E. This book will teach you some cliches to avoid, such as don't use get your ducks in a row in your formal writing. That's a no-no. Grammar Girl's book also has some tips on overcoming writer's block and tips on proofreading. The book also has a helpful index in the back for quick referencing. 1-866-897-9678 is the number to call to make your pledge right now. There's also an appendix, which I found very helpful, in addition to the index. So you can go online to WOSU.org. It takes just a couple minutes either way. Just to want to remind our listeners that the folks taking the calls today are Central Ohioans. They're volunteering their time. That's with one of the ways they're showing their support for 89.7 NPR News. Now you can show your support and give them something to do at the same time. Give us a call or go online to WOSU.org. Now, for some callers, I think Nate in Columbus, you've been waiting long enough. Hi, Nate. Welcome to the show.
Hey, how are you guys today?
Good, thanks.
Good. Big fan of your show and a sustaining member of WOSU. I love all the programming, and particularly when you have the Grammar Girl on.
Great.
So,
quick,
simple question. The word anyways, I hear people say it a lot. I don't think it's actually a word, is it?
No, you're right. It's anyway. Anyways, okay. With an S is not a word.
All right, good. Well, then I won't start using it, but I'll try to not be so bothered when other people do.
Well, yeah. You know,
I think it's one of those. I think it's one of those things, like another one that grates on my nerves is anywho. You know, instead of anyhow, people will say anywho. And it starts with people trying to be funny, but then it actually catches on, and then people become confused about whether it's actually a word or not. And I suspect that's what happened with anyways. I don't know for sure, but you have to be careful when you're joking around.
Yeah.
All right. Well, great. Well, thanks.
Thanks, Nate.
All right. Bye.
And I think Caroline in Hilliard has a good follow-up question along that score. Welcome to the show, Caroline.
Thank you. It's Caroline, but
it doesn't matter.
That's
okay.
All right. I work with three or four women who consistently use poor grammar. They don't got no time to do this work. It ain't going to happen that way, those kind of things. And I've tried to correct them, but they treat me like I'm an elitist, and I don't want to appear that way, but it grates on my nerves and makes my skin crawl. And I just wonder if you have any tips how to politely change their way of speaking.
Well, I think if you've already tried and you're getting negative feedback from them, that they're probably not open to your comments. And, I mean, as sad as it is, it's probably just better to let it go. And you can, you know, the only thing you can really do is try to model good behavior. So, you know, keep using proper English around them. Don't, you know, it's easy to slide into bad habits when you're surrounded by people who are whether it's, you know, eating chocolate or drinking or using bad grammar, whatever it is. It's easy to be influenced by your peers, and just sort of keep up your own good habits and try not to be too bothered by theirs.
All righty. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Carolyn.
Bye-bye.
You know, our caller before Carolyn mentioned that he is a sustaining member. If you want to learn more about that, ask our volunteers when you give us a call at 1-866-897-9678. We love our sustaining members, and you can learn more about that program when you make that call. You can also go online to WOSU.org and find out more about that as well. We have $900 to meet our goal this hour in just about 18 minutes. $900 in 18 minutes. I know we can do it. Make the call right now. Be one of the people that helps us reach that goal ASAP. If you want to talk with Mignon Fogarty, we still have time to take calls. We have a few waiting, but we still have plenty of time. 614-292-8513 or email us at allsides@wosu.org. And Celeste in Bexley, you're on the air. Welcome to the show, Celeste.
Hi, thank you. And thanks for this wonderful program. All of your programs are so exciting.
Thanks.
And I wanted to ask the guest today about the rule of ending a sentence in a preposition. I have teenagers, and they proclaim that the teachers at their schools don't feel that it is an issue. And I would like to know if that has changed or not. Because how would you like to be I, knowing how to do it correctly?
it is something that I don't know if it's changed, but it's something that modern grammarians consider to essentially be a grammar myth. A lot of people were taught not to end a sentence with a preposition, but there's no real logical grammatical reason behind it, and no modern grammar book upholds that rule. Now, there are instances where it's unnecessary to have that preposition. So, you know, if you say, where are you at, that's the same as where are you. So if you can leave off the preposition and it doesn't change the meaning of the sentence, then you're usually better off doing so. But it's not a real grammar rule that you can't end a sentence with a preposition. I mean, often, you know, a sentence will sound awkward if you don't. Like the example I often use is if you ask a friend, you know, if a friend stepped in gum, you're going to ask, ooh, what did you step on? Or what did you step in? You're not going to say, ooh, on what did you step? You know, so often when you're trying to avoid ending a sentence with a preposition, you just end up with awkward sentences.
I think for me, the most familiar one is, what are you afraid of?
Yeah, or where are you from?
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of instances where it just makes sense to end with a preposition, and you don't need to contort your sentences to avoid it. It's not a real rule.
But the word go, it seems to me it leads you on to think that something is supposed to continue.
Like, what? Give us an example.
Not where did you go, but let me think.
How did it go?
See, go isn't actually a preposition.
Pardon me?
Go actually isn't a preposition.
Uh-huh.
So that might be also, yeah, part
that
of
that. That might be where I'm sort of getting tripped up on that then.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, rather than the four and the whatever. Okay, well, thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Sure.
Thanks, Celeste.
I'm sending in my check.
Oh, great. Thanks, Celeste. We really appreciate your support.
Thank you.
Take
Bye-bye.
Care. Bye-bye. 614-292-8513 is the number to call if you'd like to speak with Grammar Girl Mignon Fogarty. She's with us right now. She's a great friend of 89.7 NPR News. She's joined us for several of our membership drives over the last couple of years. If you have a question or comment for her, give us a call. You can also email us at allsides@wosu.org. We're going to take Jim right now in Lancaster, but there's no one else waiting to talk to, Mignon, if you want to make that call right now. Hi, Jim. You're on the air. Welcome to the show.
Hi. My question is kind of falls in line with the last few calls. One of my pet peeves about English usage here in Lancaster is people say these ones or those ones, which seems to be pretty redundant. Is that incorrect, like I think?
Oh, boy. Let's see. I know we covered this on the website a couple of years ago, on the Grammar Girl website, and I'm blanking. I know that you'd say, you know, these red roses are beautiful. That's fine. These ones are beautiful.
Isn't it redundant? Couldn't you just say these are and those?
Yeah, it seems redundant. I have this feeling there are instances where it's not, but I can't bring any of them to mind. But if you want to follow up, you can go to the Grammar Girl website and search for these ones, and I know we did an article about it.
All right, I'll look it up. Thank you.
Okay.
614-292-8513 if you want to make that call right now. I'm glad to see some folks are making the call. And while we wait to get to those calls, just want to remind you that the other number to call is 1-866-897-9678. We are stuck at $900 to go. That is fewer than 9 pledges. Make the call right now. Be one of the 9 that gets us through our pledge goal this hour. 1-866-897-9678 is the number to call to make that pledge. You can also go online to WOSU.org. We're stuck at $900. It's a crummy place to be stuck. Let's move us on down the line. 1-866-897-9678. Mignon Fogarty, Grammar Girl, she takes a lot of time out of her day to join us and spend some time with us. We really appreciate it. We're talking about her newest book, The Ultimate Writing Guide for Students. It's our gift to you, our thank you gift to you at the $120 pledge level. But every pledge over $60 also gets you the WOSU member card, which is good for discounts at more than 200 restaurants and Central Ohio attractions. Or pledge $120 and get Grammar Girl's book and the WOSU member card. What a bargain. 1-866-897-9678. And I'm not saying that jokingly because I have my member card and I do use it. You should too. Go to WOSU.org if you want to make the pledge too. 1-866-897-9678. And Jim in Blacklick, you're on the air. Welcome to the show, Jim.
Hello, Ann and Mignon. Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I have a, I think it's a grammar question. So all my life I've been using, I'm getting flack from people. I've been using the word funner because, I was taught that in a comparison on an adjective, if it's a single syllable, you add ER, and if it's more than one syllable, it's more, you know, more or most, if it's mm-hmm. more than one syllable. So why is funner not appropriate?
Oh, okay. So you're right about the rule that you add ER to one syllable words. But the thing about fun is that some people think it's not an adjective. So everyone agrees that fun is a noun. So you can say we had fun.
Right.
And in that instance, fun is a noun, and everyone agrees that's okay. But fun as an adjective, believe it or not, is a little bit controversial. So it sort of came into being used that way. If I remember correctly, it was right after World War II, and advertisers started talking about fun cars and fun people and fun parties, you know,
right.
using fun as an adjective, and that was a new and controversial use back then. Most people, you know, under 30 or 40 don't even realize that that's controversial. But then, so now you're taking a controversial adjective and you're, turning it into these superlative and comparative forms.
Right.
So funner is, more more controversial. So, yeah, I would avoid funner and stick with more fun, even though funner is logical. Yeah.
Yeah, I guess it all bases on once it finally becomes accepted as an adjective.
Right, and I think it was Steve Jobs who a couple years ago said the new iPod was the funnest iPod ever, and that was controversial because
wow.
funnest is like funner.
And it would the other way would have been to say most fun.
Right.
Yeah.
What's fun is that the people who give me the most flack are the youngest people I know who are probably the most likely to accept fun as an adjective.
Oh, that's surprising.
Yeah.
Yeah, that surprises me.
Anyway, well, thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Jim, for the call. It was a good one.
Uh-huh.
Once again, this is listener-supported 89.7 NPR News. That means we depend on you to help us bring the programs to you that you love. 1-866-897-9678 is the number to call to join the club. Become a member at WOSU 89.7 NPR News. Our thank you gift to you at this hour at the $120 level is a great book. We love it. Grammar Girl Presents, The Ultimate Writing Guide for Students. This book would be a great gift for a student. You know someone coming up who's going to be graduating. This is a great opportunity, and it wouldn't be a bad idea to put a note in with the book when you give them the gift to say, I got this as a, I don't know if that's the right way to say that. I received this as a thank you gift, as a thank you for supporting my public radio station, 89.7 NPR News. It's a great way to pass along good writing and grammar skills and also the good work of supporting your public radio station. We have $800 to go this hour. I know we can meet the goal. We have just about 8 minutes to go. So 8 calls in 8 minutes, no sweat. 1-866-897-9678 or go to WOSU.org. Go online, make that pledge right now, and you'll be supporting public radio in Central Ohio. Support All Sides with Ann Fisher. Go to WOSU.org or call 1-866-897-9678 and tell us you care. Pat in Worthington, I'm coming your way. Welcome to the show, Pat.
Hi, thank you. Just a couple quick questions. One of the sentences I hear an awful lot is, and perhaps you've answered it previously, but where are you at or where is she at, ending with at. And I would think the correct way to say it would be where is she or where is he. Again, it's ending with those prepositions. So I wondered about that.
Right. Where are you at? That's one of the examples where it's better to leave the preposition off the end because where are you means the same thing.
Yeah. I just hear that so often, and I'm thinking.
You do.
They're kind of
been
hurt my ears, right? And the other one was I hear a lot, for example, it is snowing by Cleveland or using by Cleveland or by Toledo or by whatever rather than in or at or
near.
Something in the vicinity.
Yeah, well,
by
would mean something different from in or at. So to me, by, I mean, it's grammatically correct, but it means near, whereas in would mean right there in Cleveland.
Okay, all righty.
So if it's snowing near Cleveland, it would be correct to say it's snowing by Cleveland.
Sure, yeah.
Okay. Would it? Okay.
Okay.
It just always
happens. Yeah. If it's snowing, you know, just outside of Cleveland, then snowing by Cleveland would be fine.
Okay.
Okay. All right.
All right.
Well, that was it, and I thank you for the program.
Thank you, Pat. Thanks for calling.
Uh-huh.
Thanks for listening.
You're
Thanks
welcome.
To Celeste and Bexley. We have $700 to go in this hour and just about 6 minutes. $700 to go in 6 minutes. Be one of the 7 people who give us a call in the next 6 minutes to show your support for 89.7 NPR News. Some people think that this is the hardest weeks of the year for me when we do the pledge drives, and everybody who knows me well knows that, on the contrary, I enjoy the membership drives. I enjoy hearing from people who have supported us, and I love the guests that we get on, of course, like Mignon, but I don't apologize for asking for your support any more than I ever apologize for asking somebody to buy the newspaper that I worked at when I spent 30 years in newspapers. Why in heavens? This is the time to show your support for public media, your Central Ohio public radio station, 89.7 NPR News. This is how we do it. We don't ask you to pay a subscription every year. We don't send you, well, we do actually send reminders in the mail, but it's not like that. It's like this. We're asking you to show your support at whatever pledge level you can afford. At the $60 pledge level, You get the WOSU member card and anything above that as well, including at the $120 level, you'll get the member card and Grammar Girls book as our thank you gift. Just show your support right now. We have $700 to go, and thanks again to Celeste in Bexley. Chris in Columbus. Welcome to the show,
Hi,
Chris.
Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
And I want to testify to how useful the member card is. I am a member station and use the member card all the time.
Excellent.
My question is a very subtle one, the difference between toward and towards, or if they're interchangeable.
A common question, and it's because it's different in American English versus British English. So in American English, we only use toward. So I remember that by thinking, Americans, we like shortcuts. You know, so we lop the S off the end of that word, and we only use toward. Yeah, in British English, they use towards in some instances and toward in others, so they have it harder.
Maybe my problem is I watch so much of WOSU TV, and they run a lot of British programming, and I hear that. So.
Oh, could be.
Yeah, but I'll be able to remember it just by dropping the S.
That's an interesting observation, Tom. Interesting. Chris, to make that point. That is, you're probably right, watching too much Downton Abbey.
Right.
All right.
Okay, well, thanks for taking my call.
And thanks, Chris, for your support of 89.7 NPR News. We still have $700 to go in just 4 minutes. $700 in 4 minutes is not a problem if seven people just pick up the phone right now. We have the volunteers standing by, so we know we can help you out very quickly. It takes less than 2 minutes to do the job. 1-866-897-9678. If you've been putting this off, you'd rather listen to the show, please don't. It helps us to stay on target by meeting our hourly goals. It helps us organize the membership drives so they operate as efficiently as possible. By the way, thanks to everybody who became sustaining members, the 100 people who helped us drop a day off the membership drive this time around. Thank you very much for your support. Now it's time for the rest of you to show your support. 1-866-897-9678 or go online to WOSU.org. I'm going to take one more call right now real quick before we have to let Mignon go. Marlene in Columbus, you're on the air. Welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you. I've called before and I love your show.
Thank
and
you.
I just want to say I am a sustaining member and it's great because then I don't have to worry when you have
membership drive, right?
Yeah, membership drive, whether or not I need to sign up. I already know I'm good.
Thank you.
My question is nauseous and nauseated. My understanding is when you feel sick, you say I'm nauseated. And nauseous means like a nauseous smell or something totally unrelated. But you hear people say all the time, oh, I feel nauseous. That's my question.
Yeah, you're right. When you say... Technically, when you say, oh, I'm nauseous, that means you're inducing nausea in someone else. So when you're sick, you can say you're nauseated. And, it's past Christmas, but one of the songs in The Grinch, the Christmas Carol, The Grinch Who Stole Christmas, he sings about being a nauseous super nauseous. So next time you watch that show, listen for that line in his song.
Thanks, Marlene. Take care. One more time, we need four more calls right now. 1-866-897-9678. Call 1-866-897-9678. Make your pledge of support right now. We need your help to continue to bring you the kind of programming that you've come to depend on at 89.7 NPR News. If you like All Sides with Dan Fisher, is this something you listen to all the time? You depend on it. You expect it to be here. You turn it on every day just to find out what we're going to be talking about because you never know. Show us and tell us about it. Call 1-866-897-9678 or go online to WOSU.org and make that pledge online. It just takes a couple minutes. This is All Sides with Dan Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. And once a year, we ask you to put a value on that. Do you care? If you do, this is the time to tell us. Thanks for listening, and thanks for your support. This is WOSU 89.7 and WOSU HD1 Columbus, streaming online at WOSU.org. 89.7 NPR News, a service of WOSU Public Media.
Support for 89.7 comes from Marburn Academy, a forward-thinking school for ADHD and dyslexic students, inviting you to an admission open house Sunday, January 29th from 1 to 4 p.m. More information at marburnacademy.org.